the words were the hounds from hell. And I heard about the words like wolves ravening the prey. Like wolves ravening the prey. And I heard those words, hounds from hell, and like wolves ravening the prey. I could not get it out of my thinking, out of my mind, you know, the things that I heard. And I came over to this prophecy of Ezekiel in Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter, starting the 23rd verse. And Ezekiel wrote, "The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation." Talking about the land of Israel in his day. Now, Ezekiel was in the captivity in Babylon. Ezekiel was a prophet that God raised up in Babylon after the children of Israel were taken into captivity. But Jerusalem was not yet destroyed. Jeremiah had prophesied the captivity. And he said, if you'll go with Nebuchadnezzar to Babylon, you know, you'll be there 70 years. But if you'll go, Jerusalem will be spared. The city and the temple will be spared. But if you rebel, then your city's going to be destroyed, the temple's going to be destroyed. And of course, they rebelled. And they rebelled because of the false prophets in the land that were saying exactly what the people wanted to hear. You know, there was that Hananiah was a false prophet. But he was prophesying what every Jew would want to believe. He was saying within 2 years, the bond yoke of Babylon is going to be broken off of Jerusalem and off of the Judea. Within 2 years. And Jeremiah told Hananiah, said, you've only made their yoke more grievous. You've made it harder through your prophecies. But Hananiah was speaking and preaching what every Jew would want to hear. That God's going to deliver us from this thing within 2 years. But it's already determined. This 70 years is already determined. And Jeremiah spoke to Hananiah and said, because you've taught rebellion against the Lord, said you'll die this year. And the next verse, I don't know if it's the seventh month or the ninth month, but it tells the month and the day, said Hananiah slept with the fathers. Was laid with the fathers. He's dead and buried that same year because he taught rebellion. But he was a false prophet saying what the people wanted to hear. And keep that in mind as we go forward with this message today. Jeremiah had written, it's back in the 5th chapter of Jeremiah, in the 30th verse, a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests bear rule by their means. My people love to have it so. They love the false prophecies because the false prophets were prophesying what the people wanted to hear. And so they love to hear the false prophecies of the prophets. And the priests bear rule by their means. My, we live in such a generation that the prophets are prophesying falsely and speaking only those things that the people want to hear. That's all that they speak is what the people want to hear. And the priests bear rule by their means. And you talk about by their means, you can go online and see the mansions that pastors and evangelists and television evangelists have built, living in mansions, castles, palaces, you know, of $10 and $15 million, you know, for a house, all of it taken out of the offerings of those who thought they were giving to the work of the Lord. And they're thieves. They're thieves, every one of them thieves. And they'll be proven to be so. But there were the priests that bear rule by their means. And they're ruling for self. My, my. You know, they say, you give me $1,000 and God will return to you 100 times that much. But they lie to the people. It's never happened. It's never happened. But your $1,000 going to them has put them in mansions of $10 and $15 million. I had a vision. It was actually 50 years ago this year, of the rising of the super churches. It felt like a foreign invasion in the vision, but I saw them pushing up out of the ground from below. And there were dome structures, beautiful silver dome structures that with windows all the way around, and it looked like huge flying saucers, but they came up from beneath. And it was the dome structures of the super churches that were began to be built even that same year as they began to rise. And today we have super churches with as many as 30,000 people and maybe more, you know, in the structures, the buildings that can seat 30,000 people. But in that same night, I saw a vision of a day coming when the mansions that these preachers that built the super churches, that the mansions they built for themselves would be burnt to the ground because they built of wood and hay and stubble. And I know that represents their ministries, you know, but it was like the mansions that they built for themselves without a blueprint. Beautiful, beautiful mansions. But the day came after being warned 2 and 3 times to turn, and they didn't turn in the vision. Their houses, beautiful houses, turned into sticks and straw, wood, hay, and stubble, and burnt to the ground, and none could stop it. And I believe that we're in that day. But when Jeremiah said, the prophets prophesy falsely, the priests bear rule by their own means, my people love to have it so, what will you do in the end thereof? Now, the end that Jeremiah was preaching about was not in this end that we're living in. I believe we're living in the end. I believe that. But he wasn't prophesying about this end. He's prophesying about the end of Jerusalem, the destruction of Jerusalem that was coming if they did not turn. And Ezekiel's prophecy, he's already in the captivity in Babylon, a prophet of God raised up in Babylon, prophesying of Jerusalem. And he said this, there's a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They've taken the treasure and precious things. They've made her many widows in the midst thereof. Like roaring lions. I look over into Revelation, the 9th chapter, and in the 5th trumpet. And I do believe that the 5th trumpet relates ultimately to radical Islam that flew their planes into our towers in 2001, 9/11. But I'm telling you, we've got homegrown locusts in America today. I call them homegrown locusts. They're not Muslims. Our great fear today in America is not radical Islam, it's the homegrown locust. And I want you to notice this. They had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth as the teeth of lions. Their teeth as the teeth of lions. I'm going to come back to that. Teeth as the teeth of lions. You say, Brother Service, I've never seen a person with teeth as the teeth of a lion. Yeah, you have. You just didn't have eyes to see. You just didn't have eyes to see. If you could see, if God would open your eyes to many of our political, high political leaders that are in charge today, this day, in America, in Washington, D.C., if God would open your eyes, you would see the teeth of a lion, the great teeth of a lion as they snarl and devour the prey. But this is talking about a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things, and they have made her many widows in the midst thereof. And these prophets obviously are not prophets of God. They're obviously not true prophets, but I'm going to relate them to the prosperity preacher. I'm going to relate them to those that are that have a conspiracy to take the money of the people, the money that belongs to the perpetuating the gospel of Jesus the Christ, who came into the world to make an end of sins, and they've taken it and made themselves rich. Their conspiracy is they've taken the treasure and the precious things, and they've made many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests, talking about the priest of Jerusalem in that day, just before the destruction of Jerusalem. I mean, just before, maybe days before, maybe weeks or months, I don't know, but not years. Just before the destruction of Jerusalem, her priests have violated my law, have profaned my holy things. They put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they shewed difference between the unclean and the clean. They've hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I'm profaned among them. Now, these first two verses have dealt with the prophets and the priests, and it's not good. It's not good. We just completed 12 weeks of solemn assembly here at Calvary Outreach. I'm talking about every Sunday night. For 1 hour, we'd come, no music, no singing, no praise, but gathering in the altars for 1 hour every Sunday night. You know, the lights would be darkened, and for 1 hour, the people would be in intercessory for our nation, and pleading for God to have mercy upon our nation, and don't let those that hate you, God, rule over us. But it's as though God did not even hear. But He did hear. I was praying one night at the solemn assembly, and I was praying, God, You promised that when the Holy Ghost has come, that He would reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And I'm reminding God of His promise. And I said, God, do it. Reprove the world. Convict and convince the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. And He spoke to me. He said, I cannot convict or convince the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, because My church, which is called by My name, is not convicted of sin, nor convinced of righteousness or judgment. His church says, we're all sinners. We sin every day. We'll sin as long as we're in this body of flesh. They're not convicted of sin. They're not convinced of righteousness. And God Himself cannot reach a world with a church in that condition. And so it starts out with the prophets and the priest and the conspiracy to get the money and the treasures. And oh my, I've been preaching for almost 50 years that if you wonder why the church, the nation is in the shape it's in, and I mean it's been downhill for 50 years. Look at the church. Let the church look in the mirror, because the nation is only a reflection of what the church is. And that's sad. that said, when God sent Nebuchadnezzar down to destroy Jerusalem, He told them, the destroying angels, to begin at my sanctuary. And they started at the temple, and the first one they slayed was the 70 elders of Israel. You know, the Sanhedrin, those elders, those spiritual leaders of Israel. And it's on that basis that Peter said, the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. If it begin first with us, what should be the end? You know, the ungodly and those that believe not and so forth. It begins with the house of God. And I'm telling you that judgment has already began. It's already began. You're going to see an attack against the religion of this nation in the next several years, such as you have never seen. I said, you'll see it come. Perhaps the Supreme Court will defend the church. I believe that it will. That's the reason that those that are in charge plan to pack the Supreme Court with people with the same mind that they have, so they can destroy it. They not only want to control your freedom of speech, which they're doing right now, they're controlling the freedom of speech in this nation, but they will control your freedom of conscience, that you will not even be able to think or believe freely. If they know it, if they know about it, they will punish you. They will put you into training programs to reprogram your mind. You say, Brother Serge, that's impossible. You don't know what beast has just taken control of this nation. The spirit of Antichrist that has raged for so long without has come within. Oh my. Within the church first. Within the church first. And now to her nation. Oh my. He continues on. Her princes. This gets into the government. Now, Israel and Jerusalem was a theocracy. I mean, the prophets and the priests were the government, basically. But there were princes. Rulers. There were princes. Strangely enough, when the prophets and the priests and the people were demanding that Jeremiah be killed, strangely it was the princes that spared Jeremiah. That's strange. I mean, the religious trying to kill the prophet of God for what he was prophesying, and it was the prince of Jerusalem that spared his life and protected him. But he goes on, her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves. And this comes down to the political leaders in America. Or like wolves ravening the prey. And this is what I saw. I heard those words waking up Saturday morning. The hounds from hell. The hounds of hell. You think about that, man. A moment. The hounds from hell. Just like hunting hounds, but they're hounds from hell. And then I saw and heard, I heard rather, like wolves ravening the prey. And this is what's spoken of the political, like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and destroy souls and get dishonest gain. Look at that. I'm going to tell you, the conspiracy was said to be of the prophets and the priests, or the prophets rather, but this conspiracy is throughout. We have lived under a conspiracy for the past 4+ years, under conspiracy that has just come to fruition right now. It's been well planned. And, you know, they've sought for months to who's behind this, who is organizing this, who is doing this. When they were burning the cities last summer, 100 days straight in Portland, Oregon, trying to burn down the federal courthouse. Set it on fire one day with the officials locked inside, would have burned them to death if they'd not been able to put the fire out. And 100 days straight, and nothing said about it in most of the news media. Nothing said about it by the politicians of that sort. Why? Because there was a conspiracy. And I'm not saying a man-made conspiracy, but I'm relating you to back to the locust of the ninth chapter of Revelation. Their teeth, there is the teeth of lions. And it said, 11th verse, and they have a king over them. They have a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue his name is Apollyon. My. The angel of the bottomless Abaddon and Apollyon, both those names in the Hebrew and the Greek mean the destroyer. Their king is the destroyer. When Babylon came down to destroy Jerusalem, there were six destroying angels that came down in the ninth chapter of Ezekiel. And God spoke with them and said, go in and destroy. Have no mercy upon old or young or even child and babe in arms. Have no mercy. Begin at the sanctuary. And the first were the religious leaders, but they thoroughly destroyed that city. Go read. Just glance through and read the book of Lamentations of Jeremiah. As Jeremiah, the prophet that prophesied all this, but when he saw Jerusalem totally destroyed and laid even with the ground, and the people that remained, he said those that died with the sword were more blessed than those that died of hunger and starvation. And he saw them, the faces of the people and the condition, the starvation. And he said, the tears flow like fountains for the people. But it was because of their sins and their rebellion against God. Oh my, God had said of them, even before the destruction, I should have marked this. I don't know if I can find it. I'm going to seek to. But in 2 Chronicles, I believe it is. And I believe it's the last chapter of 2 Chronicles. I don't know if it's ever been marked in this new Bible or not. 15th verse of chapter 2 Chronicles 36. Moreover, the chief of the priest and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them his messengers, rising up the times, sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. The messengers were the prophets of God, those true prophets of God, Elijah and Micah and Nathan and Micah and, you know, Joel, and the true prophets of God, he sent to them. But they were outnumbered by hundreds to one by the false prophets when Elijah was prophet in Israel at the Mount Carmel. There was 450 prophets of Baal. And yet Elijah challenged them, and the fire fell on Elijah's altar, proving that Jehovah is God. And the 450 prophets of Baal were destroyed. But I tell you, the prophets of Baal are not the big problem in America today. The prophets of Baal were from foreign nations. Jezebel had brought them in, the wife of Ahab. Ahab had built altars for them throughout the land. 450 high places to Baal. Yes, it was a horrible plague upon the land. But in that same day, there was also 400 prophets in the grove that refused to come down and meet with Elijah. If these were not foreign prophets of foreign gods, these were the prophets of the grove. These were prophets of Israel. But they served other gods, but they prophesied, you know, to the kings of Israel. They were the spiritual leaders, the prophets of the grove. And in the day that Ahab joined with Jehoshaphat to go down to war against, was it Assyria? I forget which nation it was. And they called for the prophets. And the 400 prophets of Israel came. And they told them, said, go in peace. The Lord is with you. All 400 of them told him exactly what he wanted to hear. But they were false prophets saying what the people wanted to hear. And then Jehoshaphat, who was a godly king of Judea, he said, isn't there another prophet after 400? He said, there's one more, but he never says anything good. Well, get him to come. And I believe his name is Micaiah. Micaiah. And he came, before him, and the other prophets got him and said, this is what we told the king. You be sure you tell him the same thing. And so he came. He said, go in peace because God's with you. Even Ahab knew that wasn't true. He said, how many times must I tell you to tell me the truth? And I believe it was his prophecy. He said, I saw Israel wandering like sheep without a shepherd. And oh, the king was angry. Put this man in hold until I return. And he said, if you return at all, God has never spoken to me. And Ahab died in that battle. But see, there's 400 prophets that would prophesy what they wanted to hear, what the nation wanted to hear. And there's one prophet that would not, but he was the prophet of God. Elijah was the prophet of God to 450 prophets of Baal. Micaiah, the prophet of God, to 400 prophets of Israel who served in the grove. Oh my. Well, he said that God sent his messengers rising up big times and sending because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. I'm reading in 2 Chronicles 36 and 16. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of God arose against his people, till there was no remedy. Till there was no remedy. I believe that's today. But this wasn't speaking about today. This was speaking about the destruction of Jerusalem by Babylon some 600 years before Christ. Therefore, he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with a sword in the house of their sanctuary, had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man, or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, the treasures of the king and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. They burnt the house of God, break down the wall of Jerusalem, burnt all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, were their servants to him and his sons until the reign of the king of the Persians, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah. Until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths, for as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbaths to fulfill 80 years, 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 22. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood, to destroy souls, and get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity, divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord God has not spoken. Things are a little bit different today than they were back in that day. You see, today, the prophets and the priests are on one side, and their conspiracy is to get the wealth and the treasure and so on from the people. But they're on the other side from the princes. And the prophets, for a year and a half, have been prophesying things that me and you wanted to believe. I didn't believe them because I didn't believe they were prophets of God. They were those that learned how to prophesy. They were taught by others. They learned how to prophesy. And they could only prophesy a vision of their own heart. But they only spoke the things that the church wanted to hear. And I can tell you that for a year and a half, they prophesied that the president was going to be reelected and serve 4 more years. Wednesday of this week, this past week, proved that every one of them were false prophets. That every one of them that was saying, God said. You see, I wanted the president to be reelected. I wanted him to serve 4 more years. I wanted to believe what they said. But I know the ministry that God has given to me, and I never received one hint of such a thing. The only thing that God told me about our president that's for the past 4 years, the day after he was voted in, I woke and I heard these words, I will restore thy judges as at the beginning. That was a verse from the first chapter of Isaiah. But I hadn't been reading Isaiah. But I heard in the Spirit, I will restore thy judges as at the beginning. And just before the election, just a couple of weeks, or a week before the election, that third Supreme Court judge, conservative and originalist, was put on the court. Almost 300 in the federal courts across the land. And the judges were restored as at the beginning. Perhaps that was the only reason that Donald Trump was president for 4 years. To restore the judges as at the beginning. See, the judges, unless those that have gained power have their way and pack the Supreme Court, the judges of America will begin to defend the right of the church to continue to speak. But if they pack the court, they'll take our right of free speech from us. They'll call it hate speech. And there'll be jail time for doing hate speech. But it's not hate speech. The truth of God. Praise God that Christ came into the world to save sinners. Precious Savior. And He did it through His shed blood and His death on the cross for everyone that will believe. How is that hate speech? But they hate to hear it is the reason they call it hate speech. Nevertheless, her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them. That's Hananiah. Hananiah helped the king in Jerusalem to rebel against Babylon. Just hold on for 2 years and this yoke's going to be broken off. A false prophet confirming the wicked kings of Jerusalem, confirming them. Thus saith the Lord, when the Lord has not spoken, and though they're on a different side, though they're on a different side, actually, they were confirming the President Trump. It's okay, you're going to be reelected, God said. What do you think Donald Trump thinks about their God today? He has one of the chiefest of the false prophets on his paid staff as a spiritual advisor, a woman, a false prophet, a pretender from the beginning, one that he's put great confidence in. I can tell you it's very possible that the company of prophets that's across America in the church, it's very possible that they are the cause of the way this, the course of this election. Because how could God let it appear that they ever spoke the truth? How could it be? How could it be? But he said, her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken. I'm going to tell you, those that were prophesying the re-election and the 4 years of service of the president never heard from God. They spoke, they said, God said, and God had not spoken. So they're not only false prophets, they're lying prophets. They learned how. They gave the wishes and desires of their own hearts as the Word of God. And you cannot do that, not if you know God. The people, 29th verse, the people of the land have used oppression. Remember what Jeremiah said. The prophets prophesied falsely. The priests bear rule by their own means. My people love to have it so, but what will you do in the end thereof? And here, Ezekiel, this is the end thereof. See, this is years after Jeremiah spoke at the beginning of his prophecy. The people of the land have used oppression, exercised robbery, vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they've oppressed the stranger wrongfully. The people. Now, I want you to look at this. The conspiracy of the prophets, of the priests, of the princes, and of the people. The religious and the political. Today, coming on opposite sides. But both of them just as wrong as they can be. What a terrible condition our nation finds itself in today. I fear for our great nation. I do. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they've oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them. Now, sometimes we misread this. I sought for a man, we read it to say, that would stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it. 50 years ago, I said, God, I'll be that man. But I wasn't in a position to be that man. There's many, many sincere people, believing people, and godly people, and are just plain good people, that say, God, I'll be that man. Let me stand in the gap. Let me make up the hedge. But that's not what God said. God said, I sought for a man among them. I sought for a prophet among them. The prophets of the land. I sought for one among them to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. I sought for a man among the priests that were profaning the holy. But I sought for one among all the priests that would stand in the gap and make up the hedge. And I found none. for princes. I sought for one among the princes of Jerusalem to stand in the gap and make up the hedge, and I found none. The prophets again, and then the people of the land. He said, I found none. They were too busy using oppression and robbery, and vexing the poor and the needy and so on. Too busy. I found none. I found none. Jeremiah was a child prophet. He poured his spirit upon a child. A child. And Jeremiah said, I'm just a child. He said, don't say you're a child. I've set you to the pulling down of kingdoms. I've given you a forehead like flint. Don't say you're a child. But he's just a child. Back in the days of Shiloh, when Eli was the priest, and the priest had become so ungodly, the sons of Eli were sons of Belial, but they were the priests that carried the holy Ark of the Covenant upon their shoulders, unclean shoulders of fornicators and thieves that were priests in the temple of God. And what did God do? He raised up a child. Samuel was a child. A child, a priest, and a prophet. And that child, 7, 8 years old, when the word of the Lord came to him, not a word dropped to the ground. It all came to pass. Just like he said. You cannot make excuse for the company and prophet and said, well, you were just mistaken. Moses would have taken them out back and stoned them to death because they were presumptive prophets. They prophesied visions of their own heart. Oh my, they can't say I'm sorry and keep on prophesying. They can't do that. Their days as a prophet must be over. It must be over because God never sent them. God never called them. God never placed them. The prophet of God does not have to learn how to prophesy because his vision comes from God. The words he hears comes from God. And the words he hears will come to pass. It's not good enough that this prophet's prophecies are 80% correct. That's a false prophet. That's a false prophet. It's not a matter of measure. No, that's a false prophet if 20% are mistakes. I thought so. I presumed so. No. But God said, I sought for a man among them that would stand in the gap, that would make up the hedge. I found none. That I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I've consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. This conspiracy has been going on for over 4 years. And most of you that have kept up with the news, you know what I'm talking about. 4 years of trying to get rid of a sitting president because he didn't like his policies. I didn't like his language. You know what I can say of Donald Trump? He's an egotistical man. He's a boisterous man. He's a man that feels the need to be praised. He's a man that's willing to call people names. Now, I could go on and on and on about his personality and perhaps his character. But my last one would be, He's a man that we desperately need right now to be our leader, because he did watch out for the good of the nation and for the church and for the people and for the minorities, so-called. He watched out for all the people. He watched out for all the people. He did not come to us 4 years ago as a Cyrus, as many of the prophets said. He came to us as a Nebuchadnezzar to tear down and to destroy so it could be built again and built right. That's what he came to do. That's what he did. And he was hated for it. He was hated for it. But I bear you record that today the haters are in control of the governmental reins of America. The haters are in control, and the haters can do anything. God have mercy upon the United States of America.